Fitzroy Basin Association is the natural resource management body for central Queensland. We live and work alongside the largest river system draining into the Great Barrier Reef. Our communities are acutely aware of the impact we have upon our catchment and, in turn, how the catchment impacts upon our livelihoods and well-being. FBA brings you the second season of our podcast series, The Ripple Effect. In this season, we speak to landholders across the Fitzroy region and some prominent industry leaders who have worked here, aligned with FBA's philosophy of finding solutions to some of agriculture's most pressing issues. In episode one, we uncover how our most precious resource, water, is being utilised by landholders to combat the seemingly endless 8-year drought. Landscape hydrology is understanding the natural processes of groundwater, rainfall and climate to minimise surface runoff. In doing so, water is retained both under the earth, in the soil and on the surface. A branch of landscape hydrology, as developed by Peter Andrews, is the concept of natural sequence farming. Peter's son Stuart has recently toured the Fitzroy region on several field days, sharing his family's principles of rejuvenating the land by restoring natural water cycles. So what have been his key messages to those who are curious about better ways to manage the landscape?
Part of what we talk about is letting all plants grow. Now, that's the simplified message. The deeper part of that is understanding what every plant is indicating and what every plant is doing to assist your farm to be more productive. So rather than looking at a plant as being a weed or a grass or a tree and putting a negative value on it depending on the situation, it's about understanding what that plant is indicating to you, what it's indicating the condition of the landscape is. And that could be fertility is dropping. It could be the hydration, the hydrological component of the landscape is not functioning correctly. All of these things are reasons why our landscape's changing and the type of plants are changing. It could be we're overgrazing, we're farming. It doesn't matter. All of these things indicate why a plant grows there. And what we do is try to educate people to look at the plant and then the landscape and work out what that is. And if they can manage to help that plant do its job, then it doesn't need to be there for as long, which then puts them in a better position going forward with whatever their farming operation might be. So I reckon that's probably the biggest hurdle. The biggest eye-opener for people when they do our course is actually thinking about hydrology, thinking about how the landscape rehydrates. Because I don't know, going from all the people we've had come through our course, I don't know that a lot of people have given that a lot of consideration. And how did this landscape survive for hundreds of millions of years without people here to manage it? How did it manage to hold, reduce the losses of water and matter and fertility off of this landscape? Because by rights, given the age of this continent, there should be nothing left. It should have all washed into the ocean by now. Yet this landscape was able to evolve. This landscape actually was built on holding all of that water in the landscape rather than draining it into a dam or whatever it might be or draining it away. Now we find ourselves in a situation where our climate appears to be changing, our landscape's lost its resilience, and hydrology is now becoming something that people are more considerate of. They're thinking more about how do they hold as much water in the landscape as they possibly can, given that our rain events seem to be becoming more erratic and spread apart. The thing that we advise everybody to do, that is to start as high up in your system as you possibly can and start small. Because the biggest hurdle to any of this information being implemented is the space between people's ears. So they have to be comfortable that this is going to have a positive effect on what they are trying to achieve in their farming operation. Once they do that, then they feel comfortable to go forward and they will do a great job of it. By starting high up in the system, obviously you have less water flow, less energy, and our landscapes build from a high point to a low point, not the other way around, gravity and sunlight. If we can be capturing and harnessing both of those energies, then we will have a productive system no matter what we do. If you're spending a lot of money to carry out any of the things we're talking about, then I'm afraid you're doing it wrong. So it shouldn't be an imposition to the farming operation whatsoever. The thing is that what you're doing is you're putting in key assets that are going to build your landscape for the next hundreds of years. This is not something that you're going to do. This is not a silver bullet. This is not something that's going to turn it around tomorrow and make you suddenly more productive. You're building this system for future generations. You will see effects within the first few rain events or decent rain events that you have, but the long-term effects you won't see probably for 10, 20 years. All of this has to be combined with obviously good landscape management, and which most of the people that come to us are already possibly thinking about their landscapes in a different way. Not everybody's ready for this information. The ones that are, take it on. The ones that are not, generally don't come to our courses until such time as they feel more comfortable. You should start small, put in trials, and watch to see what happens. That's the best thing. That's the thing I advise people to do anyway, because I'm a farmer the same, and I'm no different to anybody else. I had to go through all of this. I had to learn, I had to run a farm, I have mortgage, all of the same things as everybody else. I had to make all of that balance out with doing all of the things that we talk about, and it is certainly achievable, and the benefits in the long term are huge. You can have huge effects to everybody, and the more people that work together, the better this will be. But that's not going to be always possible, because quite often you have neighbours that don't get along for one reason or another and they don't want to work together. But the ideal is if you can get people all working together, because what you do on your place either affects the next person down in a positive or a negative way. That's what the FBA are striving to do. Mm. They want to get all of the people in their watershed working together so that they can make the landscape healthier and obviously the reef is a major landmark at the bottom end of this system that is potentially being affected by whatever's going on in the landscape today. So they've got a good drive to try and see that that is improved over the coming years.
Harvesting sunshine and gravity sounds simple, but years of conventional farming methods, often passed down through generations, have worked in contrast with nature. It's that long-held belief that teasing a profit out of the land means intensive farming, chemical applications, and the continuous grazing of paddocks. This approach is now being challenged as we move into a changing climate, with rainfall becoming more sparse and falling faster when it does arrive. Temperatures are soaring, fire is more prominent, and water in all forms is less plentiful. Landholders who have begun adapting to drier conditions are working their way towards a more secure future in agriculture. The Murray family operate Mona Vale, a grazing property approximately 50 kilometres north of Rockhampton. Kenya Creek cuts through the property and drains directly into the Fitzroy River. Rod Murray has watched heavy rainfall events cause erosion on Mona Vale and has lost agricultural land to erosion as a result of those events. To address any further loss of land, the Murrays have protected 8.2 kilometres of stream bank through riparian fencing as part of their involvement in Reef Trust 3, funded by the Australian Government and delivered by FBA. The Murrays were one of 113 landholders in the Fitzroy region involved in the 420,000-hectare project, working to improve the quality of water entering the Great Barrier Reef. Rod Murray describes the impact of the rain he's experienced on his property in recent years, the rising flood levels at Kenya Creek, and how his family have responded.
Yeah, we've had fairly heavy rain events where Kenya Creek's come up fairly well, up to 400 or 500 metres wide at that time. That was 2013. That was probably the biggest rain event we had. We've fenced both sides of the Santa Creek and a portion of Sandy Creek at the bottom of it, just to basically keep the cattle out of there and to help us with our management as well, using that creek just to basically rotate around through there, but minimising the grazing in that creek area. Originally, the paddock was around 1,200 acres, so we split it up into, and it's ended up being into four paddocks now. And plus we've put another watering on the western side of the creek. What I'm hoping to achieve is retain the moisture in the ground and a good body of feed there for cattle, and just to stop that the runoff, you know, the erosion and all that sort of stuff. Slowing the flow of the water to reduce erosion and improving the soil health and all that sort of stuff.
Kurt Main is another Fitzroy landholder operating a mixed enterprise named Broken Plains in Rolleston alongside his family. The Mains were also Reef Trust 3 participants. Kurt has installed over 3.6 kilometres of contour banks on his property as part of the project to slow the flow of water in heavy rainfall events. The project has also funded the purchase of a Weed It spray rig, directly targeting weeds on the property, saving time, money and minimising impacts on water quality. Kurt Main says he's lived at Broken Plains all his life, and while there are always projects on the go, the FBA programs have been really valuable.
So the FBA program, really, we farm a lot of undulating hills country and wash is very easy. Well, they've really stepped us through and taught us how to build a bank and making sure we've got the right equipment and the right knowledge to be able to build these contour banks to make sure they work properly. And if they don't, like we had a lot of old contour banks here that were built back in the DPI days with, you know, lights, and you know, then you just roar out with a dozer and you push them up and then wondered why they busted. Well, you know, now we've got the computer programs to be able to, the GPS to be able to sort all that out and, you know, really look after our soil for the future generations. Our paddocks have become more refined and getting better harvest ability, sprayability, plantability. We're really looking after the soil. There's the main, and trying to get as much water into the soil as possible is my main aim, the goal, and hopefully on the back of that we can prosper us with better crops and more stubble colour and everything that flows behind that. Up here, we're not that far off building up these big resistant weed banks, and that's just, I suppose, worries me for the future generation. There's the reason that sort of sold me on the idea, and the chemical savings has been very welcomed. We've had a good response from neighbours, and it's sort of proving that it's working. I suppose the biggest hurdle is, when do you get on the bandwagon to adopt this new technology? I mean, there's always new stuff coming out next year, so it's another year. I'm really just a copycat of just trying to find the best people in the game and just copying what they're doing.
A key asset at FBA in allowing Fitzroy landholders to copy the best in the game and mitigate risk is through our specialised staff. Senior Land Management Officer Bernie Clausen is passionate about soil conservation. She has successfully led several high-scale remediation projects in the Fitzroy region, committing her career to achieving mutually beneficial outcomes for both agriculture and the environment. Water, she says, is the lifeblood of the land, and she explains her role as a land management officer to help preserve this precious commodity for local landholders.
I work around soils and plants and a little bit of animals, I suppose, and visiting properties to help people with issues that they might want to seek our advice on. The actual soil that was coming out of gullies was fairly highly represented in the soils that were in the water on the Great Barrier Reef. The watercourses are like the lifeblood for your country. Bit like your arteries in your body. Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, they're structured the same way, where you have small arteries or drainage lines that drain excess water down, and then they join together to make a bigger stream, and then they join together to make a creek, and then they join to make rivers. So that's, I see, as a lifeblood. And what landholders really need to be doing is trying to keep that lifeblood on their properties for as much as possible. And that means looking after your watercourses and your paddocks that attach to them. I work with mainly graziers. Growing grass is what they do, and water is usually the number one limiting factor in growing grass. So that's why it's really important to understand how to keep as much water on their paddocks and in their watercourses as possible. And if it's in the watercourse beside the paddock, the soil has that spongeability, hopefully, with lots of carbon, to keep the water in the soil profile. If you haven't changed the way in which you do things from what your parents did or your grandparents did, then you're probably limiting your potential and the potential of your grazing property. We have so much more information. We've got magnitudes more information available to us via the internet, courses available, than what your parents or grandparents did. They didn't have all the answers. They worked with all the knowledge that they had in order to manage their land, manage their properties, keep their businesses running as best they could. But we have so much more now available to us. Secondly, the key message is, for me, plants are the key. Plants of any kind. You shouldn't distinguish between good plants and bad plants. They all do a job, and some of these jobs are very different. So I'm talking trees, they do a job. Holding the soil together in the soil is what's very important to landholders to do what they want to do to run their businesses. Trees, shrubs, weeds, grass, they are all important. And if you've got that diversity in types of plants and diversity in species, then you're on a good path to having a healthy system working for you. One of my favourite land types is the poplar box country. And that's where I spend a lot of my time because they get the gullies. Poplar box country has a duplex soil. Often you've only got a very thin topsoil that has got some strength to it and is quite robust and resilient. And underneath that, you've got this very erosive, sodic soil. So keeping cattle off that in the wet is just paramount of importance so that cattle don't just punch through that 20 centimetres or so of wet topsoil, because that's when you get tunnel erosion happening very often, because that sodic soil just melts away once the water touches it. Often we have landholders ringing up and going, hey, can you tell me more about this, or which course do you think I should do? They don't have to go and do that research themselves. If they trust us, we can go, okay, I reckon you are ready for this course. If you understand what each soil is capable of doing and what kind of vegetation capable of growing and the erosion issues or management issues around each different type of soil, then you're much more likely to have a property that's working for you.
Life on the land is one of the toughest occupations on earth. To find out how FBA can assist in helping you take the next step, visit our website, fba.org.au. In our next episode of The Ripple Effect, we're speaking to one of the leaders of regenerative agriculture in Australia, Kim Cruz of RegenAg, to investigate some of the barriers and benefits of practice change in agriculture.